Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time to talk music news. For that, we bring in the expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you guys?
Good. Happy to be back from Canada?
Yeah. Yeah, I made it across the border. Didn't catch me yet.
What was your? Do you have a favorite memory of your trip over to Toronto?
You know, I mean, hanging with Sting is always pleasant.
Wait a minute. You hung out with Sting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean by hang out? Like, he said, hey, Gary, let's go have a cocktail.
Like have breakfast or after the show, after the performance of The Last Ship, you know, in his dressing room after.
You really? What does he have for breakfast?
He has a normal breakfast.
Does he?
Has some eggs.
Really?
You know.
A waffle, maybe?
No, he doesn't. He didn't see waffle. did not see a bit of maple, even though we were
okay.
In Canada.
Did you have breakfast?
Pardon?
Did you have breakfast?
I did, yes.
What did you have in front of Sting?
Some eggs and toast.
You
don't want anything that could go wrong.
Did you have eggs and toast because Sting was having eggs and toast?
That's my usual kind of breakfast when I choose to do something other than my oat squares.
Seems like Sting should be eating, I don't know, lightning or something for breakfast.
Something more exotic than eggs and toast.
Lightning jam,
he is in Toronto for like 8 weeks doing this musical, so you know you can't do that every morning.
So when you have breakfast with Sting, it's not all business, right? You're not just sitting there peppering him with questions. What was some of the small talk?
A lot of it actually was because it was the day before. A lot of it was about the Oscar, and his wife actually had a film up that won in the documentary shorts.
Oh yeah,
so
Trudy Styler.
Trudy Styler, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, a lot of it was chatting about that. And, you know, just his kids. You know what they're up to, and and spending. Listen, this is an interesting thing for somebody like him to be doing, spending that much time sitting in one place.
Are you comfortable enough with Sting to show him a pimple on your back or something? Like, hey, check this out. Can you just take a picture of this for me? I got to see if it's getting bigger.
Hadn't thought of that.
Okay,
just talk about maybe the tire pressure in his car or truck is leaking out and he can't figure out why. Or
bad stem.
Yeah,
or
didn't get into that stuff.
Got a stain in his sink that won't come out. Nothing.
But you did talk about the Oscars, and we can start there. What'd you think?
I thought it was one of the most efficient Oscars. You know, we weren't staring down, well, at least in the East Coast, we weren't staring down midnight for the show to end. I thought it ran pretty briskly. I love that this was the music Oscars, you know, despite the fact that I'm not all that crazy about Bohemian Rhapsody. I love that music was such a center of the show, and that, you know, most of four of the five best original song candidates were performed. Queen opened the show. You know, I thought that was that was fun for a change. And music films took home a lot of awards. You know,
yeah, kind of a musical.
Yeah, whether it was
movies.
Star Is Born or Green Book or Bohemian Rhapsody, they really, you know, the majority of the awards were given to films that had music at their center.
Did it move along maybe because there wasn't a host?
And you didn't have to come up with contrived bits for the host to do.
Lame bits, yeah. You mean? Yeah.
You know, sometimes they're good. You know, but other times they're contrived, and they're just there to give the host something to do, and they don't do anything for the show.
Even though I agree it was a very musical Oscars, I couldn't help thinking, like, when Rami Malek wins an Oscar, Gary hates this movie is all I was thinking. He's called this movie not very accurate.
Yeah.
And not very good.
I did not think his performance was particularly good either.
Wow.
It's boggled my mind that he's gotten these awards, and I think you can only, and maybe we saw proof of this, you know, when Queen was on, you saw all these big movie stars just rocking out to Queen at the beginning, and maybe that was it. All these people who were voting, all these actors who voted for Rami Malek in the Oscars and the Screen Actors Guild and the BAFTA Awards, you know, maybe they're just big Queen fans, and they wanted to give somebody who played Freddie Mercury an award.
How do you like Adam Lambert with Queen?
I love it.
You do?
That was especially after, you know, they tried the bit with Paul Rogers for a while.
Yeah.
And that really sounded like Bad Company covering Queen when he did it. And he's a great singer. Don't get me wrong about that. But Adam Lambert's the guy. You know, he channels Freddie better than Rami Malek channels Freddie.
Okay.
And he just, you know, he just, he nails it. And I've seen them live a few times, you know, the Queen plus Adam Lambert. And they're fabulous. It's exactly what it should be. That story, by the way, the Queen plus Adam Lambert story, is going to be coming to ABC April 29th. There's a special called The Show Must Go On, the Queen and Adam Lambert story. And it's basically a documentary about them, about, you know, how they found Adam Lambert. You know, they played with him on American Idol and then made the decision to, okay, let's go out and tour with this guy, being Freddie. And how that's worked, and they of course are going on the road again this summer. So it's, you know, it's definitely worked, and when you see it as a fan, it's a great experience.
All right, when you take Rami Malek playing Freddie Mercury, and he's not a singer,
right.
He's not a musician, and you stack that up against Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born,
who actually
learned to play the piano over the last 3 years and did the singing, although he's not known as a singer,
and looks pretty comfortable with the guitar in all the scenes that I've seen.
Well, he got he did what you're supposed to do, what good actors are supposed to do. He went to boot camp, you know, like Brian said, he learned to play piano. I guess he had already played a little guitar, but you know, he went to guys like Eddie Vedder and Lucas Nelson, and who taught him how to hold a guitar and how to look like a rock star and move around the stage, and he nailed it. I mean, I think he was very credible in that role. And that was a wonderful performance of Shallow. It certainly obliterated the terrible one that Gaga did at the Grammys. And of course, it set off a whole chain of rumors and speculation about Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. You know, everybody thinks they are now a romantic couple.
What do you think?
Yeah, boy. You know, it's
but they're actors, and they were acting like they were all anyway.
I flash back to, this would have been Bruce Springsteen's Tunnel of Love tour. So that would have been back in 1988, and when this was before he and Patty were acknowledged as a couple. And they would duet on Brilliant Disguise on stage on the same mic, and you just sat there saying, there is no way they're not. You know, just you don't sing a song that intimately, you know, just.
But that's what they're trying to sell you as part of the act, right?
Well, it may be. We are talking about actors here, as opposed to, you know, Bruce and Patty were just singers. They're actors, so they know how to do stuff like this. But boy, oh boy, was that intimate.
All right, on to some other things. Van Halen, on the other hand, not singing love songs, but new sneaker line.
Yeah, you can put a little Van Halen on your feet. These are modeled after Eddie's guitars, so the red, yellow, and white stripes, kind of crisscrossing. And these are you can get low tops, high tops, slip-ons. You know, they're red. You know, nice looking. They retail for about $65 a pair. And, you know, Led Zeppelin has a pair out with Vans. These are all with Vans. So, you know, you can wear a little Led Zeppelin on your feet. You can wear a little, you know, a little Van Halen on your feet if you want. So, you know, go get them.
Stevie Nicks has got a compilation album coming out?
Albums, actually.
Albums.
You know, she's headed into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at the end of the month, of course. And so they're going to commemorate that, they're going to release some greatest hits at one is called Stand Back 1981 to 2017. I'm sorry, one's just called Stand Back, which is a single CD with 18 tracks. Then there's Stand Back 1981 to 2017, three CDs, 50 tracks from throughout her careers, including live performances of a couple of Fleetwood Mac classics.
50. We talked to here, Mr. Music Guy. We talked to Rob Halford this week.
Oh, I love Rob.
He was very good.
Oh, yeah.
And Brian asked him, what album do you have in your collection that people would go, you have that? He said he has Hank Williams.
Oh, yeah.
And he said one of his favorite songs was, Brian?
I said I'd pay $5 to hear him sing Your Cheating Heart.
Right. And we said, have you ever thought about putting out an album of old Hank hits, you know, done by you guys? And he said that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it won't happen.
Okay. All right. So he's just.
But it always is. It always is interesting to hear, you know, some of these guys, because you do, you find out these, you know, some of these pop kids and even the metal guys. They are musicians and they like good and great music. So why wouldn't they? Even if it's not music they perform, why wouldn't they love a Johnny Cash or a Hank Williams or a Nat King Cole or Duke Ellington?
And the reason I ask is because Motley Crue covered "Like a Virgin."
Oh yeah, that's gonna be fun to hear. "Like a Virgin" is one of the four new songs they did for the soundtrack to The Dirt. This is the movie, the adaptation of the book that's been coming for years and years and years, and it's finally coming out this month, March 22nd. Via Netflix. Last week they released the song The Dirt, and there's two more originals, Ride with the Devil and Crash and Burn, and then they also covered Like a Virgin for the set. The soundtrack comes out also on March 22nd, so we'll get a chance to hear it at least then, and you know, I have a feeling that'll be one that gets premiered sometime before the soundtrack actually comes out. And you know, the crew is denying that this is going to be a reunion or anything. They said they meant it when they said goodbye to touring. You know, at the time they did say this was their saying goodbye to touring, but might still make music together, and so they have. And we'll finally get this out. I mean, this has been years. I can't. If I had a dollar for every time I asked one of those guys about this movie, you know, I'd pay off my mortgage. So it's great to have it finally coming out.
Hey, is Funko getting into the music business?
Oh, they have been for a while. You've been able to get most, you know, so many great performers. You know, as Funko dolls, they've got a brand new line just coming out that they unveiled at the New York Toy Fair. Kiss, also more current, Post Malone and Migos, you know, the rap acts. They also have NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys in new dolls.
Are any of those going to fly off the shelves, or will they just kind of they sell?
Fly off? I think they'll sell. You know, I think I would put my money on Post Malone and Migos doing well. I think Kiss will do really well because that's an audience that's used to collecting toys as well as CDs and albums and things like that. You know, Kiss has put out figurines before, so why wouldn't the Funko ones?
Now, the story we had earlier this morning was the Jonas Brothers are going to reunite. Well, they have reunited. They have an album or a song coming out today?
They just released a new song today, as a matter of fact, and they'll be spending a week. The song's called Sucker, by the way, and then they'll be spending all next week with James Corden on the Late Late Show doing karaoke and sketches and stunts on the show. A tour is expected to be announced at some, as well as a full album, are expected to be announced at some point during that week on the show. So they're back.
Stealing a page from the Mike Douglas show when he used to have a co-host for the week, like John Lennon.
Yeah, he would. Remember when it was John Lennon and Yoko Ono? Yeah. That made a great deal of news.
And Baby Spice.
Oh, geez, here we go.
Had to have a Spice Girls something in here for you guys. Emma Bunton will be releasing a new solo album called Happy Place, because there's no place happier than Spice World. That comes out on April 12th. It does include a new version of Two Become One, which is a Spice Girls hit. She did it with Robbie Williams, the British singer. She and Will Young, another British singer, have a duet on it. She also co-wrote two original songs for the album, and that'll be out, you know, in time for when they go out on tour and do their stadiums in the UK.
All right, we'll let you finish. You get to pick the last one.
Well, Record Store Day releases were announced. That's always a lot of fun. Record Store Day is April 13th. A couple that sound really, really cool is a Billy Joel Live at Carnegie Hall, 1977. It's widely bootlegged, and that was included in the anniversary issues of the Stranger album. Maybe even more excited, Elton John's 1979 concert in Moscow, when it was a duo, just him and Ray Cooper, the percussionist. That comes out April 13th. There's going to be Beatles, Madonna, David Bowie, Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan. They're going to be putting out special releases for Record Store Day. Flaming Lips, Courtney Barnett, Sigur Rós, and others will be releasing brand new music. And Pearl Jam are this year's Record Store Day ambassadors.
Right.
If you've never gone out to a record store on Record Store Day, it's a lot of fun. It's a little chaotic, but especially as it's, you know, it's all about independent record stores because there aren't any big box
record stores. Is that enough to keep record stores alive?
I mean,
it reminds people they're out there.
They're staying alive. Record stores are alive now because more people are buying vinyl. As we said, it's not like people were buying vinyl in the numbers people were buying vinyl in the 70s or the 80s, but they're buying enough vinyl to sustain a healthy number of independent record stores.
Is it going to hurt the record stores with, because Target is kind of back in the vinyl business. It's really limited as to what they have, but they have it on the racks at Target again.
You know, the independent record stores, the good ones and the ones that'll last, are not set up to count on their sales of like the new Taylor Swift or the new Ariana Grande album. They're all about the deeper artists, the rock artists, the deeper hip-hop artists and things like that, as well as catalogs. So where Target won't go deep, the independent record store will, and that's going to be their bread and butter. So that'll keep them alive.
But we're never going to see a Tower Records again, right? It's a monster of a store.
Vinyl is not selling like in those kind of numbers to sustain a major retailer like that again. But I love the independent.
Rob Halford gushed about vinyl when we asked him.
Oh yeah, everybody does. But then I always wonder, okay, let's really go into these people's houses. and you just know 90% of their listening is on their devices. Not running around putting stuff on the turntable.
Well, we didn't tell him we were coming over to inspect.
I wonder who has cassettes.
You do that on your way to Jamaica.
It's true.
Take a side trip to Arizona.
We'll talk to you from Jamaica next week, Gary.
I know, and let me say with deep respect and affection, you bastard.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Anytime.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, Gary.
Okay, bye-bye.